Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Time to speak to our first guest of the afternoon. We have spoken to Harley Lipman before, and if his name sounds familiar, it's because we spoke to him about his involvement in the Abraham Accords. He is a veteran of Middle East politics and an executive member of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Harley, it's great to be talking to you here on Chai FM again.
Yes, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for inviting me back.
Some time has passed. We're a year into the Abraham Accords, and what I wanted you to do was kind of draft a report card for me and grade the Abraham Accords.
Okay, triple A plus with stars attached. you almost can't do better than the Abraham Accords because it speaks to Israel as a normalized country where nations could make peace with Israel and Israel is accepted as an equal nation. You know, a lot of people don't realize, but Israel is the only country in the world that craves legitimacy still, you know, almost 80 years later from when it was founded, and it was created by the UN, and still the main challenge I think Israel has is the question of legitimacy. And that's, I think, one of the reasons when I was on previously, you spoke about the war with Hamas, why I was so deeply worried was the double standard, the anti-Semitism in relation to how the world viewed Israel's reactions, where Israel responded in a way that was not only normal, but in a way where probably it had the most moral army and military in the history of the world. And I say that because before they would blow up a building in Gaza where Palestinian terrorists, Hamas people, were using that building to fire rockets into Israel, they would call up all the occupants and tell them to leave. This gives away strategic advantage in terms of surprise. Obviously, who left the building were Hamas leaders and Hamas fighters, along with their laptops and their weapons. So Israel was still condemned all around the world, even though you couldn't make a better situation of black and white. This is one of those rare times in life where Israel is innocent and in the white. Hamas is black, and I only mean black and white to show the stark difference. Hamas is 100% wrong. If you just change the names and Hamas was Bolivia and Israel was Argentina, everybody would be supporting Argentina, not Bolivia. My hypothetical. So it's all about legitimacy. That's my long answer to your question.
It was a Trump initiative. I mean, it really did happen towards the end of his presidency. Is there any concern under the Biden administration that things could change for the worse?
It's a great question. Obviously, countries like Israel, the UAE, the countries that made peace with Israel are concerned because as Trump undid so much of what Obama did, the fear is that Biden will undo what Trump did. And there are some Democrats who are uncomfortable with the Abraham Accords. But I think by and large, the good news is the Abraham Accords has been largely accepted by the Democratic Party and by the Biden administration, even though a bit reluctantly, because they naturally would like to get credit for initiatives. They themselves point out that the Abraham Accords started even before Trump, behind the scenes, and there's some truth to that. So I think the Abraham Accords is here to stay. I really believe that. It's just, I can't see how they could undo that.
Harley, today it is being reported that the Qatari foreign minister says that the Abraham Accords will not signal Middle East peace. It does not deal with the Palestinian issue, and therefore it is stillborn and won't progress issues at all. What is your response to the Qatari foreign minister?
I think that this was a major step forward for Israel because, again, we remember looking back on the brief history of Israel in the Middle East from 1948, probably the one significant moment was 1978, the meeting in Khartoum by the Arab League. They came out with their three infamous no's: no talks with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no peace with Israel. And so now countries that were members of the Arab League, Sudan, the UAE, I believe, Morocco, they broke ranks with the Arab League and made peace with Israel. So that's an extraordinarily significant element. And yes, there's truth in a lot of things. So the Qataris are partially right in that it doesn't deal with the Palestinian issue. And that's what partly led to all this anger and hostility among the Palestinians within Israel, because they felt marginalized. So I think the Palestinian issue needs to be addressed, no doubt, but this has only strengthened Israel strategically by having peace with some major nations in the region. So this is an extraordinary step forward, because I don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle. Israel is here to stay, but they have a major undertaking in getting countries to not only recognize Israel as a Jewish nation, which is the key here, but the huge battle we have going forward, if I could take liberties and say this, is we have the battle of fighting against the original sin. The original sin I'll describe as people view Israel as kicking out the Palestinians. That's how Israel was created. That's not correct. It's not historically true whatsoever. Israel would have been created irrespective of the Palestinians. So the problem is the younger generation, the millennials, if you poll universities, they believe that Israel was created by kicking out the Palestinians. And that gets in the way of Israel obtaining legitimacy, because they feel that Israel is not a legitimate nation because they became a nation through an incredible injustice. And it's not true. And I can make a quick comment as to why, or let me go back to you and see if you have another question. Or
That's a different issue, and we'll engage on that issue at another time. I've always found it a bit of a circuitous argument that doesn't get us anywhere. Like, does it really matter? The point is there's 6 million Jews living there today, and you know, where they're going to go. But I want to bring you back to the Abraham Accords, because, when I read in the newspapers that the Saudis are now engaging in discussions with the Iranians, I wonder to what extent this is a robust agreement capable of wearing whatever is thrown at it. Does this concern you, the Saudis cozying up to the Iranians?
Very much so. Very much so. I am concerned. Now, the Saudis, as we know, are not part of the Abraham Accords. The nations that made peace with Israel is Sudan, Morocco, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, not Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia speaking to Iran is very troubling, but I understand their perspective. What propelled, you know, you made a point that we have to give Trump credit in some way, because you made a comment earlier in the program that it somehow was ushered in or begun under Trump. And that's true. But ironically, it was Trump that created the Abraham Accords in a way that people tend not to think of. And what do I mean by that? Well, when the Saudi oil facilities, Aramco, was attacked by Iran in a very sophisticated way with drones, it deeply, deeply alarmed the Saudis in a way which they haven't been alarmed in memory. Because not only did this attack happen so quickly, and with all their weaponry and equipment they bought from the U.S., it was unable to do anything to stop it. But moreover, the United States under Trump did basically nothing to punish the Iranians. They ratcheted up sanctions a little bit more, which was already very high, and no military action was taken against Iran. So the Saudis had placed a lot of faith in Trump as being a very muscular U.S. president who would stand up for our for America's friends. And when the United States didn't do anything that was meaningful, the Saudis saw themselves as being really on their own. So ironically, it made them look to the region and say, which other superpower could we be aligned with? Because we're very vulnerable. And that superpower is Israel, which is very important. Of the three superpowers in the region, it's the only non-Arab superpower, non-Muslim superpower. The other ones are Turkey and Iran. So I think that while Trump ushered in the Abraham Accords, at the same time, the Saudis became incredibly alarmed. So that goes back to your question. So they still feel, under President Biden, I think they're probably even more nervous, because they feel at least Trump is more likely to use force than President Biden it would.
Sure. Holly, final question for you from Mavis Rosenstein, who is listening to us, I think, from the United States of America. She says, is your guest related to the former MK Dov Lipman, who is still doing tremendously good work for Israel? Are you related to Dov Lipman?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I'm aware of. Holly, we're going to leave it there. Once again, thank you for your insights. This is something that we're going to have to keep our fingers on the pulse and watch where this is going, because it's just so absolutely crucial. Thank you for being with me this afternoon.
Well, thank you, and keep up the good work with what you're doing.